August 27th edition of This Week in Virtualization, the weekly news podcast from searchserververtualization.com. This Week in Virtualization, we preview VMworld 2010. I'm Senior Site Editor Colin Steele. VMworld 2010 starts Monday in San Francisco, and it's shaping up to be a very busy show. Big announcements are expected in server virtualization, desktop virtualization, and cloud computing, and there will be lots of social and networking events as well. This week, we have two great guests to preview the show, VMware expert Mike Laverick, and the leader of the VMware Communities team, John Troyer. Mike and I will discuss some of the big technology issues facing VMware, and John and I will talk about some of the more social aspects of the show. To start off, here's the conversation I had earlier this week with Mike Laverick. He's an author, instructor, and blogger who runs our sister site, RTFM Education. Mike, obviously your background's in VMware, but a few months ago you took this course on Microsoft Hyper-V. Microsoft's challenge in the server virtualization market is obviously one of the big things that we like to look at every VMworld. So I thought with your new exposure to Hyper-V, wanted to find out what you think about where VMware currently stands in the server virtualization market and the competition that it faces from Microsoft.
Sure. I mean, I think I don't think anybody would be particularly surprised if I said that I think VMware's position is still very secure. They have such a good share of the market space because they were there before the other guys came along to compete. But I wouldn't say that discounts Microsoft or even Citrix in that particular case in this space. These guys are noted for their very aggressive marketing stance and pricing stance. And it would obviously be remiss of VMware not to make sure that they're looking over their shoulder at every point to see what these guys are up to. I personally think that the Hyper-V product and SCVVM, as it's called, is a very interesting offering. There is obviously lots that could be improved in it. But I think where some of my colleagues in the VMware community are facing challenges is in the remote office, branch office kind of scenarios, where even with the work that VMware has done recently in improving its SKUs for small to medium-sized businesses, they still see that the Microsoft offering is a better fit from a cost perspective in those kind of deployments than VMware is. And I think VMware is going to have to do even more work to try and head off Microsoft in that kind of strategy. And I think the other difficulty that VMware have with Microsoft is historically, you know, VMware has positioned themselves in large enterprises, and they don't have that long historical background of working very closely with the SMB market. And Microsoft certainly has.
You mentioned the changes to the SKUs that VMware recently announced. You know, along with that, they changed the pricing and licensing model for a lot of the System Center products to a per VM model instead of per processor. Do you think that's something that a lot of people are going to be asking about at the show?
The move to a per virtual machine licensing model is welcome on a number of fronts, probably less so for the SMB market, I would say, but more so for your medium-sized and large businesses. I've often found it quite curious that a vendor that extols the virtues of virtualization would use something as physical as the number of sockets you have completed in a server. I don't know whether it's an irony that other people have spotted, but it's one that myself and my colleagues have often marked on. And I think the main reason for VMware switching to that position is, you know, they want to push the cloud, and the model for purchasing virtual machines in the cloud is you pay for the VMs and for how long they're running for. And it seems to me, if, you know, VMware wants to drive adoption of private cloud, adoption of public cloud, you really need a common licensing model across the board between two of those spaces. So far, for customers, it was count the number of sockets, but for the service providers, it was count the number of VMs, and I think they really needed to do that realignment, if you like, if they're going to push the cloud agenda further down the road.
Speaking of the cloud agenda, that's obviously the focus this year. The theme of the show is virtual roads, actual clouds, whatever that means. What's your take on their cloud message, and is cloud something that most customers are actually looking at now?
I was joking with one of the editors the other day. The clouds are just like the real clouds in the sky. They all come in different shapes and sizes. So it's quite difficult to actually know what the cloud is because it means so many different things to as many different people. But there is the demand there. I've got contacts in North Carolina who, you know, I've been sort of friends with them. It's not a business contact. It's a kind of friends thing for some years now. And, you know, they want it. They're telling me we want the cloud. When's the cloud coming? When are we going to get the software that will actually allow us to build this thing? This amorphous thing that not everybody's completely sure what it actually is yet. So the demand is definitely there. It's whether the tools that are coming out at this year's VMworld, whether they'll be regarded as being mature enough and ready enough for adoption in this instance. I think we're very much in cloud version one territory. And anybody who's worked in the corporate space for a while, it's almost become a bit of a kind of mantra, you know, never touch a version one product. I think that's quite a narrow perspective, but it's one that some big corporates take just simply from a kind of, oh, well, we're not ready for this. We don't think it's mature. You know, anything that's, it's like that old thing, you know, don't ever roll out a Microsoft product until Service Pack 1 is being released. It's that kind of mentality that's sometimes at play.
I don't think it's been any big secret for the last couple of weeks or even months now that VMware is going to announce the vCloud Service Director, which they've been developing under the codename Project Redwood, at the show this year. I don't know how much you can talk about that, but do you think this will kind of answer that question in terms of, you know, where is the software that we can use to build these clouds?
I think it will go some way. I think it's worth saying that the whole cloud project is not something that's going to be delivered, you know, Tuesday of next week. That isn't how... This isn't how this game is going to pan out. I mean, I've sometimes said to people, the journey to the cloud, and I know it's a bit of a cliche to talk about the journey, is a bit like the journey to the moon. It took nearly a decade for that to be achieved, and it almost wasn't achieved in that decade. And it involved the interplay of many different people with many different technical backgrounds and technical abilities. But it was achieved. So, you know, I think we're very much in the early stages of the cloud. You know, we're doing those first exploratory trips around the moon or maybe in geostationary orbits. But we're not quite ready actually to land on the surface of the moon and say that, you know, mission is completed. But I certainly, you know, we've got to start from somewhere. And, you know, if you don't really have anything, then anything is better than better than nothing is what some people would say. People will like it because I think so far all there's been is APIs and the service providers, the people in the vCloud Express program and others, have had to kind of engineer their own kind of front end and their own tools based on these APIs. And it's, you know, it's a bit like, you know, everything you're doing is you're having to program it. And I think the vCloud Director will form the bedrock or the basis, if you like, to creating a cloud, but it's only a starting point. It's not an end game.
And just to wrap up, Mike, I also wanted to touch on the desktop virtualization side, where VMware hasn't exactly had the same amount of success that it's had in server virtualization, and then they've had the recent, you know, delay of Vue 4.5 and the whole thing about the lack of profile management features in the RTO software acquisition. They haven't helped that. So from the desktop side, what will users or potential customers be looking to hear from VMware at the show?
Well, I think what we're all hoping for is an announcement that the product is going to ship and then some sort of steer on whether that's within 30 days of the announcement, 60 days of the announcement, or whatever it is. You know, generally there's an announcement and then there's a kind of ramping up process. It's funny, I've been writing a very, very long guide to VMware Vue, and in the last couple of months I've kind of lost my way with the guide. You know, I get a bit tired because I write so much stuff. I sometimes lose the capacity for writing. I lose the capacity to live sometimes with books. And I was joking with somebody. I said, this VMware Vue guide I'm writing, it's a bit like the product. I'm losing my way with it. and it's my kind of relationship with the book is not unlike how this project's working out. So it really needs to be announced this at VMworld this next week, and we really need a clear steer on when it's going to ship. And I think it's an open secret that certain features that we had hoped would make the GA quite clearly aren't. So as you indicated, the purchase of RTO Soft and Virtual Profiles looks like it's not going to make the GA. And one that I think less people have focused on but was more of a concern of my own, which is you've got this very fancy PC over IP protocol, which, you know, gives users this fabulous graphics experience. But it's...
And that's from the Teradici thing, right?
Yeah, but it's that's incompatible with their security server, which is, you know, what gets stuck in the DMZ. And customers who go down the VMware view route will be looking at, if they want to use PC over IP over WAN, having to still use, if they've got it, a VPN, and if they've not, fitting one. And I'd hoped and prayed that the PC over IP and security server protocols would be kind of wedded together. It looks like, from what I can gather, that VMware will probably port its vShields product, which has a VPN component to it, so they've already got a VPN, and kind of roll that into Vue. But I'd be extremely doubtful about whether that kind of construct would make the GA. On the plus side, one of the reasons I decided to write a guide to VMware Vue is that all the other previous releases, I thought the product was a bit crude, a bit simple, and there are some merits in simplicity, I know that. But I looked at it and thought, well, you know, I can't really write a guide to this thing. You know, an idiot can work out how to make this work. This version, the 4.5 release, is a step up, and it convinced me that, right, this product's now mature enough that, as an author, I can write a book about this without feeling that I'm patronizing the person actually reading the book. So the level of complexity and sophisticatedness, if that's a word, which the previous releases lacked. So it will be welcomed, I think, by VMware customers, despite the kind of shenanigans that you've described. And it's a bit of a shame that this situation has happened, because it's kind of stolen the thunder of what would have been actually a very big product release.
So as you can tell, VMware has its plate full this year with some big announcements, but also some serious issues that it has to face. But the show isn't just about news announcements and expert sessions. It's also about the opportunities to meet with peers and share your experiences and learn new things. And that's where the VMware Communities team comes in. VMware's senior social media evangelist, John Troyer, talked about what they have in store this year.
Pretty much anytime I ask somebody what they like best or most look forward to about VMworld, they always say the community aspect, you know, networking with other people and meeting up with bloggers and vendors and going to the parties and all the other events. So I was hoping you could just start off by telling us what are some of the things that you and your team have in store for the conference this year.
Well, boy, Colin, there's a whole lot going on this year at VMworld in San Francisco. I'm not quite sure where to start, but maybe I can start with the social media lounge. This year, it's bigger and better than ever. It is a you won't be able to miss it. It's right up in the lobby of the South Moscone building, right above the Solutions Exchange. And it's where bloggers can aggregate. If you are a blogger, you can register yourself at the VMworld.com site. There's a wiki page there you can add yourself to. So we're all going to be there in the bloggers lounge. You can drop by and say hi. There will be plenty of social media activity going on at the show. At the bloggers lounge, along with that, some tables and connectivity for folks to use. We'll also be doing VMworld Live, which is a live video shoot. It's looking like it's going to be 68 hours a day. It's crazy. We're working with the guys from SiliconANGLE in San Francisco, and I think I'll be doing it in Copenhagen. But they really are trying to pull from all the exhibitors and the CEOs and analysts and VCs and people from VMware and executives, also social media people, bloggers, and those types as well. So if you're not at the show, that's along with TechTarget's coverage, which is going to be top-notch, I have no doubt. That's a very good thing to check out. And you'll be able to see that at the top of VMworld.com. But there's lots of ways to interact either at the show or to find, watch what's going on at the show from externally. you know, all the different media channels or all the different social media channels. Twitter is going to be a big one again this year. If you follow VM World, that'll be a lot of announcements. And even if you're at the show, VM World should be a good one to follow. VMware, of course, will be follow. That's our corporate main corporate account. That will be tweeting, you know, VMware and specific news. New this year will be VMware Events, all one word. And that's going to be kind of the noisy channel where we're going to just be retweeting and lots of show news and things like that. Facebook, the VMware and VM World pages over on Facebook. We're going to have lots of activity over there. The blogs over on VMworld.com, there'll be a specific blogs page over under the communities tab. We're going to take that wiki page where everybody registered, and there's over 150 people who have put their Twitter account or blog page. We're going to aggregate them all into a one page so you can quickly scan and see what people are blogging about.
Oh, great. Yeah. That page is wonderful. You know, I've found a lot of people have started following me, and I'm like, oh, where do they come from? And you know, they're on that list, so it's a great way to find other people who are tweeting about the show and will be blogging about the show and potentially meet up at the show.
Yeah, I hope people that aren't going to the show or aren't as familiar with social media realize what a kind of a cool thing we've got going over here in the virtualization space and in the VMware community. We were just talking about it today over on Twitter, just how interesting and cohesive the people are interesting. We've got a critical mass of people on Twitter. Facebook's a little bit different, but in the blogs, it's in, you know, you guys pull directly, you know, a lot of your writers are coming directly from the blogosphere and our practitioners. It's just I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much, but it's kind of unique in the IT world right now, I think. There's just still this feeling of camaraderie, which has been there since the early days.
You know, and obviously for you guys as the, you know, the pioneer in virtualization and the market leader for server virtualization, it's great for you to have this community around you. What are some of the benefits that you guys see and you see for your customers of having this community and being able to bring them together, you know, not just at this big event, VMworld, but throughout the year online?
Well, I mean, we really see community as being a really important to us. We were very early in the community space and have had our community site forever. It's really important. Virtualization is complicated, right? And it's paradigm shifting. And we're all coming from a different part of IT. You know, you might be a network guy or a storage guy or a security guy or a Windows guy, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, here's the keys to the virtual center. Now you're our virtualization dude. And, you know, what do you do? Sometimes this is the first time people have worked with shared storage. There's networking considerations. And, you know, if you're a storage guy, there's storage considerations. If you're a networking guy. And I think the community was the first place where those people could come together back in, you know, 2002, 3, 4, 5, and really share with each other their expertise and kind of get each other up to speed on, wait a minute, this is how we're going to run a data center. Again, one thing we were talking about earlier today is just how, even though you're coming to the show for virtualization, you often find yourself going home with tips about other parts of your IT infrastructure because you've been sitting there networking with people that have been dealing with the same thing. So we really see it as key, this kind of peer-to-peer sharing, and, you know, we're all helping pull each other up by our bootstraps into this other place, this next place we're going. You know, whether you call that IT as a service, whether you call that the cloud, you know, we've got to run IT smarter and better and with better SLAs. And, you know, VMware seems to be, for a lot of places, is going to be an integral part of that. And I think you couldn't do that without community, you
right.
know, let alone the how it impacts the sales cycle and things like that. It makes you, you know, as you're looking at virtualization solutions or any technology solutions, right, you always check out what people are saying about it and how people are talking to each other about it.
Right. Going back to what you were talking about before and using the online social media to make VMworld available to you know, people who aren't able to attend in person, do you guys have any sort of estimate in terms of how many people follow the event virtually?
You know, our goal is that we touch 10 times as many people online as we do offline. And, you know, we're expecting 14K or so, I think, again this year, 20,000 over both VMworld in Europe and VMworld in San Francisco. So I hope we can touch 200,000 people.
Wow.
I think we can.
And, John, just to wrap up, I just wanted to ask you what you are personally most looking forward to at the show this year?
I got to say, there's a couple things. One is the tweet up. There's going to be a tweet up on Monday night. And I got to say, as a marketing professional, I guess is what I now am, I never thought I would be in rooms where, in conference calls, where so many people who are paid so much money were sitting there talking about tweet ups. There are tweet ups all week long, and I think people are using them. It's a great new way at meetings for conferences for people just to gather. You know, some are sponsored by different vendors. You know, this happens to be a community one. I'm really looking forward to that because it's just all of us getting together. And at this point, many of us know each other from Twitter or on the communities or whatever. And so that's a great time.
Yeah, the community one last year was great. I went and some of the other Tech Target folks went, and it was great to, you know, put faces to names and sit down and talk with the people that we, you know, converse with online for the rest of the year.
And my new coworker Alex, who runs our communities, was like, I don't know how much of the parties I'm going to go to. I'm not a big partier. And I'm like, no. At VMworld, we don't go. I mean, yeah, there are people drinking, but we're not like, I mean, and maybe when you get to 3 a.m, it gets a little crazier. But we're there talking about virtualization all
right.
night long until our voices give out, right? Because that's why we're here. And so it's just one giant long geek fest. So I'm looking forward to that. And there's actually a super secret exclusive reception that Steve Harrod and the Office of the CTO is throwing for the V-Experts Among Us, which is our kind of evangelism and advocacy and blogging program. So the people who did get a V-Expert award are gonna get to meet with Steve Harrod on Wednesday, right before the party. And I'm definitely that's a highlight of the whole event.
SearchServerVirtualization.com will be a big part of VMworld 2010. I'll be one of several editors and reporters there from many of our sites, covering all the news, and we're once again putting on the Best of VMworld Awards. This year's winners will be announced in the Solutions Exchange on Wednesday, September 1st. We'll also be at booth 1440, so stop by if you want to meet some of the staff and learn more about our sites. That's all the time we have for now. I'm Colin Steele. Hope to see you out at VMworld, and thanks for listening to This Week in Virtualization.